Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. It is a special privilege for us to be able to provide this broadcast each Sunday morning for your listening enjoyment and inspiration. Our broadcast is enjoyed by many different people in our area and community. We are grateful for your support. We thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts as well. Radio CJMQ covers a wide area. We have regular listeners in the eastern townships of Quebec and also in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We welcome your questions and comments. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. And you can access the program on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace. Again, it is a delight for me, Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, to welcome you to this program. Whether you're listening live on a Sunday morning, or whether you're catching up later on the recording from the CJMQ website, I'm delighted to have you listening in. Our opening psalm, Psalm 65, celebrates the abundance of the earth. Given the abundance of rain in the eastern townships in recent days, it's perhaps hard to hear, but it is easy to hear the abundance of God's grace that forgives our sin. Praise waits for you, our God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple.
We will command divine might.
Let us pray. God of wisdom, you are the light of the minds that know you, the strength of those who serve you, and rest for those who seek you. God of growth, you sow and you gather, you tend and you prune, you judge and you save. God who tends our lives, we come to you in worship, to rest from our responsibilities, to turn from our distractions, and to hand over our concerns to you. Nourish us with your word, so that we grow in Christ, rooted in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is because of you that we can draw close to you. All praise to you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Faithful God, you have planted the seeds of faith in us, but we confess that we have not tended those seeds well. We fail to keep studying your word, satisfied instead with what we think it means. We consider that we already know enough, rather than pursue deeper encounters with you. Forgive us, God, when we think you have nothing more to offer us. The Apostle Paul reminds us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God's Spirit sets us free from the power of sin and death. The psalmist said, "When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions." Let us know that we are forgiven, and let us forgive one another in and through and by the name of Jesus. Guide us, O God, by your word and Spirit, so that we may see clearly the way to follow you, and have the courage to live by your truth revealed in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading this morning is from Genesis 25, verses 19 to 34. This is the account of the family line of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramean from Paddan Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was childless. And the Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. And the babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the elder will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out, with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew, I'm famished." And that is why he was called Edom. Jacob replied, "First sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank, and then he got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright.
My Jesus knows when I am lonely. He knows each pain. He sees each tear. He understands each lonely heartache. He understands because he cares. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, he knows just what I need. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies
Do you like watching Family Feud on TV? On the US version, it's Steve Harvey who leads the game show. Families have to guess the responses to a series of questions asked in surveys. We asked 100 people what was their favourite fast food joint. Top 5 answers. Go. The families have to respond in a limited time. And if you don't get the answers, and it's 3 strikes and you're out, then the opposing family gets to steal the money that you've raised by getting one of the missing answers. Now, there is an element of fun in trying to imagine for yourself what the answers will be. Sometimes they can be really obvious, but sometimes you wonder which 100 people in America thought such and such. Maybe the producers hope that a family feud might break out, as one member of the family says to another, "You should have known that!" In all the pressure of a recording studio and big money on the table, it's a lot to handle, so no wonder a family feud might begin when somebody doesn't find the obvious answer. At least, an answer that's obvious to all those watching. Family feuds create lifelong limps and open wounds. Wrong words, looks, actions from family have a life-altering impact. Unfortunately, these feuds are common and no family's immune to them from time to time. We've moved on in looking at the story of Abraham. Last week we read how he got a wife, Rebekah, for his son Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah had children, twins in fact, Jacob and Esau, and through these children the family faith was to be passed on. But instead, at this point, it's a family feud. Even as they were being born out of the womb, there was a sibling rivalry going on. The boys grew up. Esau became an expert hunter, an outdoorsman. Jacob was a quiet man, preferring life indoors among the tents, something of a mummy's boy, we might say. Isaac loved Esau because he loved his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. This was a complicated family, and everybody was skewed in their relationships. Now, the birthright was a particular status. The firstborn son had the right to a double portion of the family inheritance when the father died. He had first call on family property, first call on being married. It was a useful step up in life. One day, Jacob was cooking a stew. Esau came in from the field starved, and Esau said to Jacob, "Give me some of that red stew, I'm starved." And that's who came to be called Edom, which means red. And Jacob said, "Make me a trade, my stew for your rights as the firstborn." And Esau said, "I'm starving. What good is a birthright if I'm dead?" Jacob said, "First swear to me." And he did it. And on oath, Esau traded away his rights as the firstborn. Jacob gave him bread and the stew of lentils. He ate and drank, got up and left. And that's how Esau shrugged off his rights as the firstborn, and Jacob carried off the birthright. No one comes out of this story in a good light. Jacob and Rebekah are each siding with their favourite children. Jacob is a deceiver and manipulator, and Esau holds his birthright cheaply. This is a family of feuds and not a family of faith. Now, this certainly isn't the end of the story, as we'll follow on in the coming weeks. In some ways, it will get worse before it gets better. But there is a pointer as to the way that this is a story that works out right, even if it's in the wrong way. What's the difference between Jacob and Esau? For there are two paths here. We have Esau, the hunter, the man who is preoccupied with his own needs and his own appetites. He's so self-obsessed that he believes that he will die if he doesn't get a bite to eat then and there. That's what he cares about, the immediate experience. He's not worried about the future. He sells off his future, his birthright for the present, for the here and now. He's representative of the spirit in a person which says that the now is more important than the future. Jacob and Rebekah would have tried to raise their children in faith. But Esau had no love for devotion, no inclination towards a religious life. The requirements that accompanied the spiritual birthright were an unwelcome and even hateful restraint to him. The law of God, which was the condition of the divine covenant with Abraham, was regarded by Esau as a yoke of bondage. He was bent on self-indulgence. He desired nothing so much as liberty to do just as he pleased. To him, power and riches, feasting and reveling, they were happiness. And he gloried in the unrestrained freedom of his open, wild and roving life. The only thing that mattered to him was the way that he felt right then and there. Who do you know like that? Who do you know in this generation who says, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die"? Who do you know who is controlled by inclinations? They look, they see, they want, they possess. They are a marketing agent's dream, forever led by the next experience, the next shiny promise, the next best idea, the next get-rich-quick scheme. Rather than practice self-denial, they will forego the most valuable considerations. Given the choice between the here and now and the there and then, it's the here and now that wins every time. Given the choice between ease and comfort now, or ease and comfort in a covenant relationship with God, they choose the former. If the choice is between a feast that satisfies for a day, or a faith that satisfies for eternity, they choose the former. Esau is the perfect picture of our current culture. We'll give up everything simply because we don't have the ability to delay gratification. Well, if Esau is the model of unfaith, does this mean that Jacob is the model of faith? Well, in a roundabout kind of way, yes. You see, Jacob takes the long view. Yes, he is a twister and deceitful. He manipulates the situation to his own benefit, but he doesn't live for the day, he lives for the tomorrow. And that is faith, with a small f. He reminds me of the story that Jesus told about an unscrupulous steward. Faced with the reality of being found out as a fraudster, the steward went to each of the people who owed money to his master, and he quickly reduced each person's debt. He asked one, "How much do you owe?" 30 tons of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 24. Jesus said, "The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Jacob's faith is all twisted back to front and inside out, But as the story goes on, we'll see how God straightens out Jacob and he comes to a faith that is all upright. Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, for your word is our heritage, and your ways are the joy of our hearts forever. You created the earth and planted it freely, bringing forth an abundant harvest of life. Through Moses and the prophets, you gave us your word to be the birthright of all your children. You sent your Son, Jesus the Christ, among us in the likeness of sinful flesh, to teach us to walk according to your Spirit, and to deal with the sin that constantly struggles to come to birth and rule over us, dividing us and robbing us of the joy of living. When Jesus was killed by those who are hostile to you, you raised him from the dead and sent your Spirit to us, giving us life and sowing within us an abundant harvest of peace and righteousness. Lord, for food in all its variety, and the people who grow it, transport it, market it, and prepare it, we give you thanks. We pray for those who cannot afford enough food, for those whose agricultural supply is at risk through extreme weather, uncertain prices, social upheaval. Help us care for the earth and its fruitfulness and for each other in our common need of its fruits. God of all the nations, you gather people together in communities to care for each other and to enjoy each other's company and creativity. Thank you for the support we find in our congregations and churches, for the difference volunteers make in our communities. Where there is division in the world, bring peace with justice. Where people dispute opinions, give wisdom to see what is important. Where people are tired and anxious, bring strength and courage. Where people mourn loss of any kind, provide comfort. Where there is illness and pain, bring healing. Where there is distress or discouragement, transform fear into hope. By your Spirit, equip us to serve one another in Christ's name, so that your compassion touches lives with love and mercy. And we offer you our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.